This is Pat Meltzer with Bernice Alpern. Today we're interviewing Mrs. Ida Notoff for the Pittsburgh section, the National Council of Jewish Women, the Oral History Project Phase 2. The date today is March 23rd, 1987, and it is approximately 1:45 this particular time. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to these interviews, Mrs. Notoff, and I know from reading your biography, etc., that you have so much to share, and we really appreciate your doing that. I'd like to start off by asking you something about your immediate family. And when I am speaking of the immediate family, I mean mother, father, sisters, brothers, and maybe a little bit of information on your grandparents, for instance, where people were born, approximately when, etc., their present status, deceased, or living here in Pittsburgh. You know, whatever you can tell us about your immediate family.
Oh, I was born in Lithuania. I came over here in 1922. During the First World War, we were exiled to Russia. We were in Russia for 7 years. When they caught up with Nicholas and Alexandra, they sent us back to Lithuania. My father was in this country for some time already. We could not in any way communicate with him while the war was on. But as soon as I mentioned when the war was over, he sent for us. I came over here with my mother, may her soul rest in peace, and another sister.
Your sister or your mother's sister?
My sister.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your mother and your father's name? I'm assuming they were both born in Lithuania. Maybe the name of the town, your sister's
yes,
name?
Yes, one Lithuania, and at that time, my father was born in Poland.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your mother and your father's name?
My mother's name was Celia Berman. When I talk about my mother, in fact, about my other deceased, I don't like to use past tense because to me they're very much alive. Mm-hmm. And this is what keeps me ticking. I had the most wonderful mother.
A very healthy attitude. I think I can understand it because my mother is no longer here on the earth with us, but mm-hmm. I feel as though she's living also. And she's
mm-hmm. Well, I live with the thought that we never lose the one we love if we love the one we lose. And this is when I put an ad in the programs that the various organizations solicit for. I mark it that way. In fact, I have the last journal that I have here has that on too. I don't think I could really go on otherwise. Mm-hmm. Mother was 47 when God took her.
You mentioned that you came to this country with your mother
and my sister,
and
another
sister.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any other brothers and sisters who perhaps didn't come to this country? Or
After we came to this country, my mother had a boy and a girl. My brother is deceased, and my sister lives here in Pittsburgh.
When your father came to the United States from Lithuania, and you mentioned he had been here mm-hmm. for quite a while before he was able to bring the rest of the family, did he come to the Pittsburgh area?
He was in Pittsburgh when we came here.
He mm-hmm. was. Do you know why he chose to come to the Pittsburgh area?
Well, it used to be like what they call a landslide, you know, and he was told that Pittsburgh is a good city to come to, and they had a lot of friends from Lithuania, and that's why he settled here.
Mm-hmm. And what did you say your maiden name was, Mrs.
Berman, B-E-R-M-A-N.
Oh, okay. I recall that now. I'm sorry, that's... Oh, yes. Do you remember your father's approximate birthday? mother's approximate birthday.
That is a very difficult thing, going back to Europe, because it mm-hmm. seemed like they really never kept track of it. To this, when I came to this country, there was even a little, not a misunderstanding, but my father, when he made out the papers to come to, for us to come here, gave one age and my mother another. Mm-hmm. So now I can't ever say that my birthday is a certain day. I was born on Purim, see. Mm-hmm. And this is all we go by. In fact, I gave a program yesterday, and it was Purim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. One of the reasons I had said approximate was I know in our family it's the same way when you try to go to Europe. And actually, sometimes here in this country, people weren't as specific about birthdays as they are now. Maybe such close records weren't kept, and some people just had an approximate idea.
I don't remember celebrating a birthday, really. I don't even small children, you know. It was just going on and on and on, that's all.
Okay, so there wasn't any kind of fuss made about it in Europe. Was Lithuania a part of Poland? You mentioned your father was born in Poland. Was Lithuania a part of Poland at that particular time?
At that time, no. At that time, Lithuania was Lithuania, and Poland was another area, another section.
Okay, thank you very much. My European history is somewhat fuzzy, and especially when it gets to different stages in history. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine there was a lot going on at the time of the overthrow of the Tsar,
yes,
etc. Mm-hmm. And I know ever-changing borders, etc. When you came to the United States, approximately how old do you think you might have been?
I was 11.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were living in Russia, Lithuania, in Europe, before coming to the United States, can you tell us a little bit about the atmosphere of your home? Apparently, the mother was the head of the household, or did you live with grandparents, friends?
In Russia.
Before you came to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Poland, in Lithuania, pardon me, and Russia, we had my grandmother and grandfather with us, and we lived in Lithuania, and then we were exiled. When we exiled to Russia, we also had them with us.
Would you characterize your family as having been religious?
Orthodox.
Mm-hmm. And their orthodoxy, did they keep the dietary laws, etc.?
Yes.
Defined
yes.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you, as a girl, receive any type of formal religious education, or was it mostly in the home? What would you say?
It was home, and whatever. There, they don't start you at 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to cheder, and in Russia, I went to uchilishche. Uchilishche is a public school; it's not a high school. High school is gymnasia. But I wasn't old enough for gymnasium there.
Mm-hmm.
But my Jewish education I got mostly from my beloved mother. Everything that I have, that I know, I attribute to her. In fact, I have her picture here with me. Sometimes I just talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
When I light the Shabbos candles, I have 7 candlesticks there, and I have 3 of hers, 2 of mine, and 2 also someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
I
nice.
That's why I say that somehow she's never left me. I couldn't accept it any other way.
She's everywhere in the room.
Yeah, I talk to her out loud too.
I can see that. Well, would you, when your family was in Europe, and I realized they were exiled, etc., would you say that you probably came from a, in economic terms, maybe a middle-class family?
Middle, we didn't have very much, to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, in terms, I guess it's all in relation to the rest of the society.
Mm-hmm. So just we made a, not we, but my grandfather, and at that time women weren't working like now, you know, so there was very little coming in.
Uh-huh.
But we had enough to get by on, and the most important things As of now, even as of this day, when I, every time that Shabbos comes along Friday, to me it's very exciting, a very exciting time when I light the candles and I put the wine on and I put the challah and the sidur and all. But you used to start in Europe, you used to start Saturday night to think of the Shabbat. This is the way it was. Everything depended how much are we going to have for Shabbos. It seemed like during the week it wasn't very important what we're going to eat. But for Friday night and Shabbat we had, have you heard of chont? Did you ever hear that?
I think so. I know it's a kind of food, but I really couldn't say exactly what
it
is.
I make it now too.
You
I
do?
I make it and I deliver to my friends. I usually, when I cook, I deliver things to my friends, people that can't do it, you know, can't cook. Some give up too easily.
How kind. I'm sure they're very glad to be remembered.
Yeah, it's a glorious feeling. In fact, the way I feel, they're doing me a favor. They tell me that I do them a favor, but I don't feel that way because if it wouldn't be that I would know that they enjoy it, mm-hmm. I don't think I would be cooking this for myself. But this way I have a good excuse. In the meantime, I enjoy it too. So.
Yes, and it's nice to feel that you're needed or that you've done something good. It makes you feel good, I think. Mm. Well, when you did come here to the United States with your mother and your older sister and then the two younger siblings were born, would you say there were any major differences in the way your life was conducted? Did you still follow Orthodox tradition? Would you say
everything was the same as far as the tradition is concerned? I mean, that's something that is within you. It's seated in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very empirical. That
sure. We've talked with several other people who had said maybe when families come to the United States, they
drift away.
Well, yes, I'm not sure if that's the correct term for it, but they're very interested in becoming Americanized and like everyone else,
right?
And you know, it's just a natural thing. I wondered if something like that might even have happened with your family, but you think it remained approximately
the
same.
Mm-hmm. It remained, and it seems like tradition-wise, it's happening all over again.
Mm-hmm.
What I can see in the Orthodox community right here in Pittsburgh in Squirrel Hill,
the revival. A revival?
I think it is. I attended a wedding yesterday for, I think they had over 500 people, the Rabbi Kagan's de Kollel, their daughter got married. And it's really something to see the Hasidim. Well, they're ultra, the Hasidim, they're even more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I maintain my way of life because I believe in the here and after. I believe that I want to follow my roots. They gave me a lot, and I know that this is the way Mother wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud of upholding it all.
You should be. That's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's an inspiration to speak with you. You had mentioned when you came to the United States, you were approximately 11 years old. Did you continue in the public schools when
McKelvey
you came here?
McKelvey School.
McKelvey.
Mm-hmm. That's on Bedford Avenue, right?
Yes.
Near the reservoir. You know where they where you went around there?
I don't know the reservoir, but I know where McKelvey School is. And it's in the Hill District.
Yeah. Well, it's on Bedford Avenue.
Right.
We lived right on Bedford Avenue.
Did you go beyond McKelvey School to the high school?
I went to Conley Business High. I graduated there with honor, and then I went further. I went to Shenley High School, evening school, because I worked. And I've been going to Pitt as an audit student for, let's see, I started in 1969. My husband died in 68, and I'm still there. And I was telling Miss Alpern that they wrote me up in the magazine in this month.
Mm-hmm.
My name is there.
Which magazine is that, Mrs.
The Pitt Magazine.
Oh!
Yes, I have the magazine here. I mean, I kind of got things together.
Alumni News? The Alumni News or the Pitt News?
This is the magazine that I think it's the contributors, the ones who contribute to the fund.
My husband just received something in the mail, and I'm not sure we have it, so I'm going to want to look at your magazine. But
I have
your article, the article about you was there.
Page 13.
Okay, I'll make sure that I look at that. But he does get these things, and we have a tendency not, you know, not to read them, etc., or to look through them. We think, well, it's
is it a fancy cover, a fancy outside, with a ribbon?
To tell you the truth, I can't really think back. The cover is something you would notice, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It grabs your attention.
Does it have to do with the bicentennial?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You notice I have a pit thing on my door?
Yes, I noticed that when I came to
I'm
the door.
I'm very proud.
I saw that, well, as well you should be. Was your husband born here in Pittsburgh?
No, he was from Poland.
From Poland, and could you tell us approximately when he came to the United States?
I think it came around the same time, maybe a year sooner.
Mm-hmm. Was he living in the Hill District also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how did you meet him? Through family, neighbors, what would you say?
Well, it was the Zionist group. Now it's the Zionist Organization of America. And we used to get together on Center Avenue, Labor Lyceum, Irene Kaufman Settlement. Now it's Irene Kaufman Center. And I was in a play, Svejkun Lemels. I don't know whether you heard about that one when I first came over here.
The name of it?
Svejkun Lemels. Kuni Lemels are not too smart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of not here, not there.
Was he in the play also then?
No. Mm-mm.
So you met mostly through neighborhood activities, et cetera, and you had... Yes.
And, of course, being that he came over from the old country, we had like a kruzhok, like a game, you know, sort of get-together. Mm-hmm.
And what did you say your husband's first name was?
Norman.
Norman. Okay. Actually, you touched upon one of the next topics that I wanted to discuss with you, and that was how you viewed the political... life of the city at that particular time. You had mentioned a Zionist organization, those kinds of things. Could you tell us a little bit about the Hill District at the time that you were growing up? And did you live there when you were first married?
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about it? What type of neighborhood it was, the type of people who were there, maybe if there was... anything political going on at that particular time. I guess maybe the cultural center might even have been the Irene Kaufman, but I don't know for sure. But you would have a better idea. And by the way, these are just, if you can't recall accurately, I really wouldn't worry about it. These are your perceptions as you recall things and how you think they were.
Mm-hmm. I cherished every minute since we came over to this country and coming here to Pittsburgh. We had less than we have now, but the memories linger on. I mean, we had less material things, but close with neighbors and et cetera, et cetera. Everything seemed that we still could follow our religion. And the synagogue, the people were very responsive, and my friends, I had a very nice circle of friends. Politically, I really don't, it wasn't like it's now as far as politics. I think politics had a different trend completely. Like now I follow politics. But at that time, I wasn't anything. I wasn't interested in politics. I had to get going on my language and getting my English, et cetera, and my education. I remember when I went to Conley, I took violin lessons. When I graduated Shenley, I was in the orchestra, on graduation. So... As I said, everything that was here But everything was so new and so appreciated because we didn't have, in Europe, we had no facilities like water or tubs or toilet accommodations. It was like our life from day to night. And the first time I ever put a switch on was when we were on the boat. And there was a switch and there was light. You go into the bathroom and you push a little thing, you know, and then everything goes down and you don't have any problems. But there in Europe, it's entirely different. So there's nothing, you really can't compare it. Now, I'm sure now it's already a different life, you know, even in Europe. But at that time, it was really, coming here was the greatest blessing.
Mm-hmm. I see you really appreciate everything. When you mentioned coming here was a great blessing, and of course we talked about the conveniences, etc. Did you think very much about the fact that supposedly there's more freedom here? I know your family was persecuted, you were exiled, etc. And although everything isn't always very even-handed here, and I'm not sure exactly how it was at that particular time, it seems to me it would have, you know, would have been better. There would have been more freedom. Is that part of the reason that you enjoyed life here in America so much, or didn't that really affect you because you were very young?
I enjoyed everything here because of the freedom. There was no freedom when we were in Russia because we lived through the pogroms, and I saw my neighbors crossing the street, and as they were crossing the street, it was shot down. My grandfather was thrown up in the air, you know, and things like that. So when we came here, and we could sit outside till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, which we can't do anymore here, not either. it was very gratifying, very gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Can I imagine. Again, you've touched on something else I was going to ask you about. I understand that you are a very musical person, quite a musician, interested in music, etc., and all of its various aspects. Did you begin your interest in music as a very young child? I know you mentioned you took violin lessons and you were in the orchestra at Shenley High School, but was anything happening in terms of lessons, either formal or informal, when you were younger, maybe even in Europe or when you first came here?
Actually, I don't know whether I'm a musician, but I love music. I sing all the time, and this is why I do the programs now. When I do the programs, when they say entertainer, I don't like the word entertainer for me because I'm not an entertainer. I do this because I celebrate God's miracles to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I deem myself Hashem's shlicha. Shlicha is a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that he's the one that gives me the courage, the strength, and also there is something between him and I that is, we have a bond. And I do his work. I do music. I chant music from the Siddur. Some of it is to my own melodies. I have, right now, I have about 8 melodies that I use of my own. And then after I do his work, then I go into songs of yesteryear, whether it's Russian or Yiddish or English. I love music. I'm a member of the Pittsburgh Symphony. I'm a member of the Pittsburgh Concert Society. My older daughter has a perfect pitch. You'll probably ask me later on, but anyhow, she's a concert pianist.
Mm.
I had a baby grand piano here, but I sent that away to my younger daughter in Great Neck, and I got this little 2x4 board just so we have a piano here, you know.
Would you say your interest in music and, well, as I said, all aspects of it, which you've been speaking of, did this develop as a fairly young child, would you say?
I had some sort of a voice, I would say.
Okay.
And to me, music, it's great therapy. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the greatest therapy that we can really use for these mental hospitals. I work at the Western Psych on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. and I sing all the time there. Mm-hmm. It just seems that even when I'm not in a jovial state, I sing, and that relieves a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. Tension, and et cetera, et cetera. It really does great. I told the visitors yesterday at the Riverview Apartments that I just want to, I mean, the ones that saw the residents, rather, mm-hmm. that I'll be satisfied if the only thing I can do for them is when they leave to go back humming at least one song, which would give them some sort of, it brings you back memories, it's good. Sure. They really don't indulge. They forget about the past, you know, like my Yiddish mama, those kind of songs and all. And it's fulfilling, and music really is, it maintains me. It's nourishing to me.
Yes, I can see that, food for the spirit. Very good. Well, thank you very much. That was quite interesting. When you came here to the United States and your family settled in, I'm not sure if it was called the Hill District then, but that particular area in Bedford Avenue, and the two younger siblings born here, were they born in the hospital, or how did those, you know, was there a midwife who came into the house, or how
no,
were those things taken
care
of?
It was in Montefiore Hospital on Center Avenue, mm-hmm. and Dr. Wexler, I think, delivered both of them. Mm-hmm.
I've heard...
there was a lady, Dr. Wexler. She probably is a daughter or whoever, whatever.
Yes, I was going to say, I used to go to a Dr. Wexler until she retired maybe
is she retired
8 years
already?
Ago. Oh. Sylvia Wexler? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I know her. If someone in your home, when you were living here in the United States in particular, became ill, would the family go to a doctor, call a doctor in? Was there an informal type of doctor, nurse practitioner, or someone in the neighborhood?
Well, before we went to a doctor, a lot of European people, and I can say including myself, we have remedies that we have used in Europe. Uh-huh. In Europe, you didn't have doctors that we had. We probably had, like, just a practitioner of some kind. And there's a lot of the remedies that we use that are of great help,
I'm sure.
to the ill, and even to this day, I know I use them for the patients and all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the hospital maybe doesn't like that because it.
We're finding out, I think, so often that lots of these, they were called home remedies, really do
mm-hmm.
have some efficacy.
Doctors
really
use them now. Doctors
sure.
now are going back to that. Like, they used to use ice packs for everything.
Uh-huh.
Now they're to heat. I believe in steam. I'm a firm believer
uh-huh.
in steam. I've used that. But doctors now tell you that heat is better than cold, unless it's something very, very
mm-hmm.
not so popular, you know, in an illness.
Yes, we are getting back to more, I don't know whether you would call it more old-time ideas about healing or more natural ideas, whatever. I suppose you probably know Dr. Woolhandler. I think he's one of
I hear he's a bone man or a chiropractor. He's
no.
a chiropractor, isn't he?
Well, the Dr. Woolhandler I'm referring to is on Wilkins Avenue, and
mm-hmm.
he is an M.D.
Oh, is he an M.D.?
He's an M.D., but he differs from a lot of M.D.s, I would say, in... He seems to believe very much in preventive medicine, and if you go to him, for instance, he wants you to come when you're healthy, and he's very much interested in diet, stress, all those other kinds of things, and he will prescribe some changes that he feels that you need to make in your lifestyle, etc. Now, he is on the staff, I know, at Forks Hospital, so he does other kinds of things, and he uses drugs that you get in the pharmacy, etc. But he's a little different from other doctors, MDs, I should say. And well, he is an MD. He has his degree in there. He's interested in nutrition, all of these other kinds of things. And he also has a massage therapist right in his office.
I'm a massage therapist, reflexologist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw that in your biography, and I called a friend of mine, Alan Goodman, and his answering machine was on. But anyway, I wanted to ask him more about that because he does send out this quarterly on holistic health, et cetera, and has, you know, various things in there.
Well, I have
a little bit about it.
Something else that I want to say. Mm-hmm. I've never revealed it. It was never revealed, and I didn't know whether this is the time, I mean, while you're doing this program, for me to say that. But firstly, I was born in a call. A call, okay, you know what
yes.
a call is? Fine. It's supposed to be very unique and not too many people. And the people that are born with that are supposed to have certain powers. That's number one. I was always a little bit unique or whatever. But as of late, my superior, who does therapeutic touch, has declared me